Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and this show is going to be about how to use the past to heal the present. For a lot of us, we think the past is really messing up the present, and for most of us in our lives, I always say that the one reason we stick around to be adults is to somehow heal our childhood. And there are ways to do that. There are many ways to do that. And this show is going to look at one way that's very effective. And to do that, I've asked an old friend of mine who is a genius in this field, who's doing remarkable work and teaching it as well. And I've asked her to be on the show, Maureen Turner. Welcome, Maureen.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, good. And we spent some time together over the summer, and you were telling me about your work, and I was so fascinated. I've known your work for many years, but what you're doing more recently and with more information about it was fascinating to me. Tell me, first of all, let's let our audience know what you do for a living.
I'm a clinical psychotherapist and specialize in clinical hypnosis. I teach it as well as see patients and specialize in age regression, helping people go back to the cause of their problem. And as a result, we're able to change and usually eliminate the problem.
Eliminating a problem by regressing people back to an earlier age. Now, it's hard to do that unless you can actually re-experience that, right?
Well, actually, it's not hard at all. I've been doing it for 17 years and have taught a number of clinicians and continue to do so. And they're finding that to be able to take people back to the cause of the problem and help that part of the mind that often is stuck back as if it's going to happen any moment again.
Right. Well, that's what I meant, is that you're in the experience of it because of the regression. You can actually, instead of without a hypnotic trance state, in the present, we can only have a memory, and sometimes we don't even remember it.
Right.
But
what I'd like to do is sort of touch some basics right now,
sure,
very briefly, in terms of what we're doing with the mind, as it were. The mind is basically 90% unconscious and 10% conscious. And the unconscious part is really made of beliefs. Until you have an experience with something, whether it's fear or sadness or anger or joy, you're not going to have a belief about it. And as soon as you have an experience, then there'll be a belief set, and your unconscious automatically responds in a particular way. For instance, if you're 2 years old and a black and white dog bites you, you're going to have a belief about black and white dogs. And your mind is your emotional response is not unlike a physical response to an injury. If the bite that the dog would have given the 2-year-old would immediately have serous fluid and swelling and protect that bite. Well, in the mind, a similar process happens, and we know that now as a result of brain imaging, that neuropeptides come and wrap up that scary event, for instance, and store it in the back of the midbrain and the lateral nucleus of the amygdala. And in wrapping up the event and storing it in a special place for particularly traumas, the neuropeptides grab not only the event itself, but up to about 15 minutes before and after the event. And those things that happen just before become triggers, so that the unconscious, if you were running around and playing before the dog came up and bit you, you may hold yourself back from running around and playing too much throughout your life for fear that a dog may come and bite you. I'm not saying this is rational. I'm saying that this is how the unconscious mind stores things, and it stores things according to subject. So the younger you are when bad things happen, the more generalized the response. So it wouldn't be unusual for a two-year-old to be afraid of black and white rabbits and cats and so on. And it can persist through adulthood, and you can typically, people will say, oh, I've always been afraid of dogs and cats or whatever. So it's important to understand how the mind works in responding to trauma in order to understand really the beauty of the hypnotic age regression technique. And hypnosis is relaxing your conscious mind, that 10% part of your mind that is analytical and protective. And so in hypnosis, we're addressing that 90% of your brain that has beliefs and responds almost automatically and sometimes seemingly irrationally. But in the 17 years I've been doing clinical hypnosis, I have yet to find a behavior that didn't initially seem protective.
Right. Oh, yeah. Our survival mechanism is very, very strong. And as a matter of fact, it's probably limiting our options in life tremendously.
Yes. Yes.
So now, what do people generally come to you for? What do they recognize in their lives that they think you can fix for them?
All right. Well, that's a good question, Peter. Whether I thought I was going to specialize in anything initially, it soon got dashed with just about every imaginable kinds of issues over the years I've had people come to me for, from the typical smoke ending to weight loss, which is the most common things that people associate with hypnosis. But I tend up, and I certainly work with people on that and have some things to say about how we use food and cigarette to deal with unconscious issues. But I work with people who have obsessional compulsive disorder, OCD, and they no longer are behaving that way after a number of sessions with me, typically. Anxiety is probably the most common, panic disorders, depression. I'm kind of a general practitioner for, things that people want to change or eliminate.
Well, what are the kinds of things that people, in terms of, let's say, smoking and overweight and other habits that we want to change, what kind of events do you find predominate in those decisions from childhood to become that dysfunctional?
I like that question. I just want to say that it's not a conscious decision of a child. It's usually unconscious. It's the unconscious wanting to be protected. Anybody who's still smoking today, it typically has two main reasons, and it can be a combination or one or the other. One, if they have attention deficit disorder, and the cigarettes are self-medicating that ADD, because if it doesn't make any difference whether you have the inattentive type of ADD, the hyperactive, or combined, the treatment is the same, the need for additional stimulus. And hypnosis can be very helpful to augment medication in that regard, or be used alone by having people anchored in a and be able to bring up a stimulated state when they need it. So that's one reason, because I'll ask people, what does cigarettes do for you? And if they tell me it calms them down, I'll give them an assessment and tell them why, for ADD, before endeavoring to have them no longer want to smoke. And that's been very successful. If I find out that their ADD, we address their need for a stimulant to calm themselves down, and then go from there, and the cigarettes are no longer needed for that self-medicating purpose. The other reason is a transitional object. It's unresolved grief. I'm thinking of somebody who came to me that was living the healthiest life she could in every way. In fact, she was a personal trainer, and mortified that she was still smoking, and had a young child. She was extremely motivated and had tried everything. I'm often people's last resort, and fortunately, I'm usually able to help most people that I see. So I asked her who had smoked in her life. Well, it had been her father. And was her father still alive? No, he had died when she was five. And so I was able to regress her back to a time when she and her father had a good experience. They felt very close, and he wasn't smoking, so that she no longer needed the smoke in order to connect with her father in an unconsciously. And then, anchoring is like a labeling experience. It comes from neurolinguistic programming research, NLP, and it works even better when people are in trance, to bring them back to a positive time, as if they're there right then and there. Give it a label, a name, and suggest that they can pull it up any time it's safe to do so. is a way to be able to help people transition out of behavior they want to change. At any rate, in interviewing this woman about when she smoked, her first cigarette was with her coffee. Asked her if her father drank coffee. Well, yes, he did. So in trance, and I've discussed this before, of course, I asked her if it would be okay if the smell of her coffee brought up her father's memory and she connected with him, and instead of the smell of the cigarettes. And she agreed and never smoked again, as far as I know.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's also creative on your part to come up with these solutions.
Well, I now have lots of experiences in order to be able to draw from. I'm pleased to say I've hypnotized thousands of people at this point. So
you've learned trial and error, perhaps, too.
Yes, yes. This won't work. Well, what about that?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And there are experiences that we have, and I want to be sure that we touch on fear, because that's the most common thing that causes problems. It's the cause of trauma and the reactions, anxiety, panic, dissociation. And fear has levels, you know, we can feel nervous, and then if things get worse, then we feel anxiety, that palpitation in our chest, and that's the flight response. Your unconscious trying to tell you, get out of here, run. And often when we're children, this happens at a time when we're maybe have no place to go. And if you can't get out of a situation and it continues or gets worse, then panic. Our unconscious saying, you know, I'm serious, you gotta get out of here.
Well, a lot of people today are struggling with the economy the way it is, keeping their jobs. It brings up so many struggles in relationships and all of that. And there are a lot of anxiety attacks because people can't run away from having to go to work in ways that they don't like. The fear of losing their jobs or losing their houses. It's hard to run away from those. So how does regression help that?
All right, let me just go to the next step, that if you can't run away, and this is mostly set as a pattern in childhood, then the next step is to dissociate. A part of your mind leaves. And because if you can't leave, at least your mind can leave.
Right, and you can go crazy.
Well, I think that most people have at some point in their lives, you know, just left the scene because it was too painful. It's kind of hard to grow up not having ever dissociated. But depending on people's background, and abuse and so on, they can have that as a default. But the reason that the unconscious will go to panic and anxiety and even dissociation is because when it's triggering something that comes from the past, it worked, at least at that moment. And I'm thinking of somebody who came to me for severe panic attacks. And he had been beaten up by a gang in New York City as a child, and he called out and was panicked, and a grown-up came and broke it up. So the unconscious, wanting to be helpful, will translate that you've got to feel this anxiety in order to get help. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So in losing a job or the fear of abandonment and the fear of unsafety can trigger things in your childhood. And going to a job that you don't like can bring up things that you were forced to do that you didn't want to do in your childhood and how you responded in that way. It's important to note that most beliefs have been set in our mind by the time we're five. So even though we're dealing with grown-up issues, or I know some of your listeners may be considerably younger than that, it can still trigger early experiences. The unconscious tends to store things by category. And for instance, public performance anxiety, the most common anxiety in the U.S., most performance anxieties, and I've dealt with hundreds of them, go back to a failed performance by a child in preschool or first or second grade. And you forgot your lines in a play and the audience laughed. You're in your tutu in a ballet recital and you went the wrong way and the audience laughed. I'm thinking of as an exec who came to me who was so sick of having anxiety attacks before every speech he gave, and I regressed him back, and he had a recital with a saxophone in front of, in an auditorium of his school, and the curtain opened and his music fell on the floor. Well, he had no plan B for that. Of course, all the kids laughed, and his face was red, and embarrassment. He walked off the stage, and any time he was in front of an audience of any type, he would have a similar reaction, the unconscious, making the assumption, oh, this is going to be dangerous, get out of here. And we were able to go back and, talk to that little kid part that was stuck in his midbrain as if it was going to happen any moment again, and release that. I developed a technique that I call the rescue mission, where these issues are relieved, not just lessened. They're gone. I've had people call me up after speaking to 500 people. In New York City, that couldn't speak to more than five, when they were, an officer in their country, a company in Massachusetts where I was working before Vermont. So, the ability to change, the plasticity of the brain is something that I see every day, many times a day.
What I'm looking at is what actually, how do you anchor them in something different so that they don't respond this way?
Well, the age regression, I release that traumatized event that started it all off.
But how? How does that?
I utilize the person I'm working with to be the rescuer and let that little kid part that doesn't know that they've grown up connect with the adult and let the adult take charge from there.
The adult has perspective.
I've got classes to teach, clinicians to do this, but in essence, that's the child is rescued so that it can just no longer be stuck in panic.
That makes sense, is to go back and have the perspective of being an adult and seeing that it's not the end of the world.
Right.
And
right.
and that everything works out all right, because look, after all, you've become an adult.
And so
you can relax.
And different from traditional talk therapy, which I did for years, we're going directly to the thought source, and we're not going around and around trying to figure out what the symptoms mean. You can hear yourself talk. You remember. I will never, ever tell anybody they're not going to remember. And that doesn't mean some things can't fade, but and get filed in the library of your mind, and you're no longer acting as if it's going to happen any moment again. But you hear yourself, and my clients are very participatory and leave my office most of the time very empowered, feeling lighter and like they've, solved some long-time problems.
That's wonderful. Now, we only have a couple minutes left, so what can people do about this for themselves at this point? You're way up in Vermont. a lot of the audience is elsewhere in the world.
Yes.
I guess there are people you've taught, and probably mostly in New England.
No, actually, I've had people from different parts of the country study with me. And, this is what I'm doing. I've got training programs going so people can contact me. But I think that for your listeners, to let them know that putting behind them is not necessarily a good thing. To help go back and try and remember the first time something that even vaguely like what is setting you off anxiety happened. And talk to yourself. How's that?
Okay, well, that helps a lot, is to have this perspective and know that you can help that child in yourself and calm it down and
absolutely.
Let
and
it know
children,
it's safe.
Children hear, and horror movies when people are nursing their babies, feeding their kids, that adults think they're not paying attention to, trust me. Kids don't know the difference between real and vivid imagined.
Right.
So parents really need to protect their environment of their children, what they hear and see, along with, giving them good food.
Right, right. And that's very important, all of that. And, and how can people reach you?
I'm at 802-658-2140, and the name of my company is Motivation Hypnosis. My website is motivationhypnosis.com.
That's great. And, Maureen, this has been such a pleasure to hear all these important this important information about how to heal ourselves from the past, and to go back and heal the past and feel better now.
Absolutely. Doable. And I'm glad to teach and help people do this.
Well, thank you so much, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Same to you, Peter.
Okay. And this is Peter Roth. Bye-bye. This is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.